So hey, everybody.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
We're rolling.
We are rolling.
Nice.
I mean, we say rolling, but I mean...
Nothing's rolling.
Nothing is rolling.
The bits are being captured.
Yes.
In a sequential order.
Is a hard drive even rolling somewhere, maybe?
If you have a standard one, yeah. But if you have an SSD, then nothing is moving.
Nothing is moving.
Beyond a fan inside your computer, probably.
Yeah, the fan. So...
Yeah.
That was fun for
Welcome
you.
Welcome back.
Yes.
It's whole 9 yards.
It is whole 9 yards. And we... Wow. Ray, I don't have it in my head as to what this category is called.
I feel like they were nonsensical words, but I don't look at the categories either.
Nonsensical words.
I'm not sure if that's true.
For I mean, sure. We look at the categories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, you start down the rabbit hole of word research and then
Once
you just
we're in
get
it.
Lost in your own. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Then things change in definition.
Always. We figure out what they're usually while it's on the air.
Yeah. So that's nice for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in these nonsensical words, what do you have up top?
My first word is balderdash.
Balderdash.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I use the word balderdash in my regular speak.
It is a board game. I know that.
Oh.
Where I think the point is kind of in the definition. So you wouldn't define it if I asked you, what would you say?
I mean, I don't use it, but I could still say it means like crap. Somebody said something to me and I'm calling them, they're not giving me the truth.
The liars.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right?
Essentially, it's defined as senseless talk or writing, nonsense, absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
In the board game, I believe you're supposed to make up definitions and figure out who's made up definitions the most plausible. I don't remember specifically, but there's a board game called Balderdash.
I've heard that game premise.
Yeah.
And I feel like I would like to play it.
Yeah, those ones are fun.
Mm-hmm.
When you can kind of trick the host, or it's up to the individual player to decide who wins the round. Not these rules. I'll decide.
Whole 9 yards, not sponsored by Balderdash Games.
Thank you for that. but to get us back on the track.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I'm fine with the sides, please. This word is actually classified as having an unknown origin.
There's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It just comes out and says it. But from what I gathered, it's interesting, kind of. Not what I expected, for sure. Seems like folks about Shakespeare times, 1590s, for those that don't have a Shakespeare times calendar
right,
on their desk.
what
I found is people use this word balderdash to mean a frothy cocktail of beer and wine / beer and milk.
Geesh.
Yeah. / like any sort of frothy cocktail, I guess. It seems like mostly beer and wine and mostly beer and milk, but the definition was leaving it open to other concoctions with beer and frothiness.
Stout and ice cream?
I guess, maybe.
That's a float, though.
That is a float, yeah. So the first recorded uses of the word balderdash are in reference to these drinks, these mixed frothy beer drinks.
That's the first.
Yeah, 1599 has an old English quote talking about a bubbly perfume of a barber's balderdash.
Wow.
1637. Indeed, beer by a mixture of wine. It enjoys approbation amongst some few, where then it is no longer beer, but hath lost both name and nature, and is called balderdash. 1637.
I'd call it gross, maybe.
It sounds like beer and milk. I was unaware of that drink. Are you aware of that?
No.
Yeah. I mean, even mixing beer and wine seems bad, but less or more appealing than beer and milk.
Yeah.
So by the late 17th century, the term seems to take on more of a senseless jumble of words kind of meeting than a frothy beery drink.
How long did it take for this metamorphosis?
17th century.
Oh, so
we started in the end
100
Yeah, about 100 years.
Yeah.
Because we started in the late 16th century.
Right. So when you started, maybe they started mixing other stuff in there. You got your beer, you got your milk, and then someone threw in some orange juice.
It sounded like kind of got some cocktail-y action. You know, it started with the beer and the wine and the beer and the milk, but it kind of got more of a cocktail feel, I think, as it progressed. Yeah.
What's that meal that people eat that is, it's like maybe you have some meat and you have some potatoes and you got some other crap and you mash it all together and it's called a...
Like shepherd's pie?
No. That has more of rules to it of some sort, I guess, but...
Gruel?
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Neither one of us have that.
I'm not sure what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like a...
Hash. Hash.
Oh.
So this is sort of like the hash of drinks.
Whatever you got in the... What do you got in there in the cabinet?
Yeah,
just throw it all in. It's fine. And that does come up. That came up once or twice. Kind of that similar thing. Like, yeah, you had what you had, and you mixed it together, and you went with it, and you had some balderdash.
Yeah, I've had balderdash myself then.
Yeah, no, we've all been there. Cocktails. I've cereal cocktails, all of them, any kind. I'm a fan of the cereal ones myself. Just mix a bunch of cereals together.
Oh, you not put cereal, not like put Lucky Charms into the whiskey or something.
No.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that.
No.
But no, like mixing different cereals together.
No, I just lost the train for a minute.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. So let's see, where was the train heading?
Why?
Got some quotes more about mixing wines together. Red and white wine mixing. Making their own house blends, if you will.
Red and white.
Yeah. And this one... that which is made by peasants, both red and white, is generally genuine, but the wine merchants of Nice brew and balderdash and even mix it with pigeon's dung and quick lime. That's from 1766.
Actual pigeon dung.
I mean, this is what Tobias Smollett would lead us to believe in his personal letter from 1766. That's what I have here.
Why?
They were trying to make a flavorful, I don't know, drink, getting drunk.
Man.
But it says the peasant stuff was the good stuff, but the wine merchants were the ones that made the balderdash.
All right.
Trying to pull one over on the folk.
Pigeon dung.
Yes.
Okay.
Some kind of etymological, sorry about that. Wow. Etymological origins of the phrasing and ideas, I guess. There's a Welsh word, baldordis, which is idle, noisy talk or chatter. There's a Dutch word, balderen, which is a roar, thunder, a loud cry. And two words, also Dutch, boldre, I'm not sure if that's right, B-U-L-D-R-E, to make a loud noise, and dask, which means to talk.
Mm.
So just come kind of like, all right, well, where do these maybe... Well, I mean, pieces of the words come from. But again, there is no... This is a classified as unknown origin. There was a show on the BBC in 2006 called Balderdash and Piffle. The writers of the Oxford English Dictionary asked the public for help in finding the origins and first known citations of a number of words and phrases. Sounds familiar?
It does sound freakishly familiar.
Yeah, 16-episode British television show in 2006.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah. But that's balderdash. Ta-da!
That's a fine word.
Yeah, it was,
I don't think I'm going to start using it, though. But you could see how with those pieces and parts from those various words that someone slanged that together.
Could
and
be.
And it stuck.
Yeah.
You know?
It's certainly possible. I have no proof.
What you drinking there? That there balderdash?
Man, I'm not going to try it, but if anyone wants to try it, let us know.
Yes.
You can tweet at us at Whole Nine Yards Pod. Let us know how it is.
Tweet it up.
What do you have going on?
Well, I have a word called malarkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Malarkey.
And I don't think that... the way you use it or the definition of it strays very far from what I said about balderdash.
Right. I don't know the specific use, but I have an idea of how I would use it.
You know, I would say that's a bunch of malarkey. Meaning, again, it's a load of crap.
Crap.
Right.
Yeah, I would also agree with the crap.
Yeah, we learned about John. Was it Thomas Crapper?
Thomas Crapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So malarkey is meaningless talk, nonsense. All right. That's a basic definition on there.
Great.
It's been spelled a lot of different ways. You have your malarkey. You have your molarkey.
Okay.
And malarkey. And malarkey.
Like malucky, you're saying?
I'm just sort of sounding it out so I don't have to spell each one
sure,
of these.
Sure.
But they're spelled with U's and various amounts of L's and A's. You know.
Sure. Pick your amounts, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because it's not a word. Spell it how you want, just right. So somebody could sound it out.
They right? know. They know the intent.
They got it.
Yeah. All right.
Now, the word seemed to have been made popular by this cartoonist. And you can look up some of these cartoons. This guy's name is Thomas Aloysius Dorgan.
Okay.
That's a name
wow,
there.
Aloysius.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But his initials spell Tad, so I would
Tad.
Just go by Tad.
Tad, yeah, I'm Tad. Yeah.
He popularized the word, and this, I'm pretty sure, was in the 20s. Now,
1920s.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay.
1920s,
no, no.
Yeah. And the thing about it is it's an American slang word. That's kind of important to point out.
We created this word.
Yeah. So, yeah, 1920s,
okay.
T.A. Dorgan. He also claimed, those people.
Tad's people.
And all of them. Claim that he also propagated kibitzer.
Hmm.
And propagated, I don't know about this one, hard boiled, which I won't go any further on that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I need more info on that. I don't know. I don't know that kibitzer is right. It doesn't seem right to me.
Right?
Doesn't seem right. Doesn't sit right.
Because it seems Yiddish. Or
it's
something.
Definitely Yiddish.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, the Kibitzer guy, the Tad guy.
Yeah, Tad.
I mean, he seemed to have popularized the word in his cartoons, but didn't necessarily make it up. So where it came from is, like many of these words, contested and also felt to be unknowable. But, I mean, I don't know why on this one so much. Now, there's a lot of people that think it came from Gaelic Irish roots, and there's obviously the name Malarkey is like a last name, which would suck to be your last name.
John Malarkey.
If you were just like, yeah, you're full of Malarkey. Hey,
that's my name.
Yeah.
Seamus Malarkey.
So it's not, yeah, it would not be fun for that fella.
Oh, no, sure.
But there's a lot of reason to expect that it came from that. And there are people who have speculated or claim to know stories, but there is no solid documentation that, oh yes, this fellow named Malarkey always told tales and then it just became, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no like solid you're saying, but there's speculation that it was just a family name.
Yeah, so you were at the pub,
uh-huh.
and you know, there's Jonathan Malarkey
yeah.
was telling a bunch of tales.
Spinning some yarns.
And then so the next time you were at the pub and your buddy Jim was telling tales, you'd say, that's a bunch of malarkey. Oh, because they all know
Jonathan. Because they
know. Yeah.
Right.
And that's a popular story about this.
It's heartwarming.
I know. I was touched myself. There's also people who speculate that it came from Greek because Greeks have a couple of words. Hmm. One's malakos and one's malakia.
Okay.
Yeah. So my research into that digging and looking at the definitions of it, and then I contacted a couple of people we know with deep, long-standing Greek heritage.
Oh, nice.
And asked them about it.
Yeah.
And
what'd they let you know?
They said that Malakia, that was used more by the younger people, and it was a little bit more like we might call somebody, well, in Pittsburgh, we have that term jagoff.
Mm-hmm.
And they used that as an analogy. But also, so it's like you're a jerk, but there's a playfulness to it that they're trying to convey. It's mm-hmm. not necessarily that you don't like that person.
Yeah, it's like a, you jerk.
Yeah. And then so far as that, you would also use it to address people. So it's almost like a friendly, hey, Malakia, what's up? This is what I'm told.
And oh, like a, yeah, okay, like a jokester.
Yeah, or I don't know about a jokester. It's more like a friendly greeting that has a little edge or ribbing to it, but it's understood that it's okay, it's cool.
Yeah, like what are you jerks up to?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of still isn't nice, right? But
I gotta work on that.
Yeah, but the Greek thing, while those words are hauntingly close,
yeah,
you can't draw any kind of direct
seems
line at all.
Different,
there.
Yeah, different usage.
Yeah, so there are also plenty of people that say it really can't be Gaelic Irish because those words that came from Gaelic origins would have been words in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and that. That malarkey in the way we use it is not, but I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, we have a large Irish community in the United States, and anything can morph up and come from somewhere. So I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I feel like I ran into a similar when I was doing lollygag, kind of a similar. Sort of
yeah, you did.
Similar thought than to kind of what you're expressing, yeah, that there wasn't direct, but you're like, yeah, but it could be. I mean, you know, we'll make some illogical jumps here and there.
Yeah, and and anyone can start a word. You don't know
sure.
what's going to happen. You
it's
know
true.
that it catches on. And yeah.
Yeah.
I had the, right, my number six my notes was there's a board game.
Oh, is there? There's one called Malarkey?
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's a board game called Malarkey in which players try to separate real answers from, well, Malarkey.
Does it have the well in there too in the pause?
In the definition of the game, yeah.
Yeah, nice. You gotta. That's awesome. I'm glad they have that in there. I would have written that out too.
The game is based on the Imponderables book by David Feldman.
What's
according
that?
To this research. I don't know, we're going to have to get that.
Yeah, all right.
So malarkey. And you know what's not malarkey, Ray?
What's that?
Our ads.
Oh, I bet.
I know. So we'll be right back.
Support Whole Nine Yards and make your life easier with Instacart. Online grocery shopping made simple. Instacart connects you with personal shoppers in your area to shop and deliver groceries from your favorite stores in a single order. Products you love from local stores, hand-selected based on your preferences. Many items may be delivered in as little as an hour. Instacart helps to save you money on your favorite items and recommends new products that you might also love. Instacart, the most convenient way to shop. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigSciencemusic.com. That's BigSciencemusic.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back.
Thanks for listening and sticking around.
It's a wonderful thing when that happens.
Yes.
We just have to yammer a little bit right here in case you press that little circle and it launched you past the very beginning of us, because you can't tell, you know, what,
and it's 15s 30 seconds,
and 30s, yeah.
You have to get, you're not getting back easily.
I know. So by now you're back for sure.
Probably, if you overshot.
So like Ray alluded to earlier, if you want to get in touch with us, please, Rebecca will give you the email at the end of the show, but please hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Whole9YardsPod. Whole9YardsPod on either of those. Follow us, send us messages, and we're on Facebook as Whole9YardsPodcast. That's also with the number 9. Or email us, but yeah. Give us your thoughts, comments, suggestions, and relative criticisms.
Yes.
So, Ray, with Nonsensical Words Part 2.
Yes.
What do you have lined up for us?
I have the word knackered.
See, knackered. I don't use that word either.
No, I mean, it's a British slang term, is kind of what I found.
Okay.
In my research.
And what do they mean it to say? Is it drunk?
I think it's a part of that, yeah. It's in there. It's kind of drunk or tired, exhausted, worn out, broken.
All right.
Also testicles.
Wow.
Knackers.
I mean, what's that have to do with being tired and worn out?
Yeah, it's a part of it, I think. I think we get to the...
All right, let's have it.
I mean, not like in a...
No,
it's
yeah.
not. So the term knackered comes from the word knacker, which is a person. One who kills and renders worn-out livestock, especially horses.
Mm.
Yeah, that's 1812 term. Slash someone who separates animals for reuse. Yeah, which, so the 1812 is knacker, and then this knacker is derived from an even older form, also spelled K-N-A-C-K-E-R. Sorry, it's spelled K-N-A-C-K-E-R-E-D, knackered. For everyone listening at home that's not looking at my notes.
Knackered.
Knackered. So the 1570s knacker, it seems to mean saddle maker, harness maker.
I like that better.
Well, these folks, it's right. They were the folks you'd call for your horse needs, including...
The finishing off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still. So even back then, it was kind of a part of the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the shortened word knackered comes from a longer phrase, ready for the knacker's yard / fit to be knackered. The knacker's yard was a term in the 1800s that was an area where they would get these pieces that weren't fit for consumption together and ready for other things like glue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So this one's kind of not the best.
No.
But tracing it even farther back, knacker could be have its roots in Scandinavian word hnakkur, H-N-A-K-K-U-R, which means saddle, which relates to the word hnacki, H-N-A-K-K-I, back of the neck / neck. So that's as far as we get back out of that unpleasant one. it has some Cockney rhyming slang, which I enjoyed. I can't remember which one was a Cockney rhyming slang that I did.
Oh.
Darn it.
You got me all juiced up for the slang rhyming.
Oh, what was it? I don't remember. Someone has to write in and tell me. But some of the Cockney rhyming slang for this is cream crackered, and also Kelly Packard, who is an Australian media tycoon.
And this is one of those, like, the Barney Rubble thing?
Yeah, where the word rhymes, like, crackered rhymes with knackered, and I don't know, they extrapolate these phrases out of these rhyming words, yeah. And they don't relate, and it's fascinating.
They're always playing it's so Saturday beautiful. Light Brigade.
It's just beautiful.
In the pubs.
Yeah.
I can't, like, I'm trying to drink here, now I gotta think.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, I am fascinated with it. I need to look more into the Cockney rhyming slang. I can't remember what the one was, though, where I first discovered it. Darn it. Was it Humble Pie? Was it the... I can't remember. Anyway, it might have been. But yeah, knackered. It's not the best. But it means tired, exhausted, worn out. So, I mean, it certainly relates directly to its origins.
Yeah, I feel knackered at the end of this week.
Yeah, man, right? These whatever Friday this ends up being, if it's the first Friday or the third Friday of the week or whatever Friday it is, it's been a long Friday.
Amen. And this week has me, Ray, ooh, Hornswoggle.
Nice. Good segue.
Uh-huh.
Completely natural. I like it.
Yeah, it fit right in there. Hornswoggle, yeah. Another word that we don't use.
Not really.
Right?
I have said it, I'm sure, once.
Come on, you
said
this word.
I mean, again, once or twice, but I don't, I mean, not any serious sense.
Yeah, so we got a couple few of these this week,
yeah.
People. But, I mean,
they're out there.
Yeah, and they're part of things. And even though the words are retired, sometimes these words or the roots of their words have morphed into yet some other new word that we do use.
Yeah.
So everything's a part of everything. I mean, isn't it?
That was beautiful.
That's getting deep, right?
Oh, man.
I know.
There is no difference. Nice.
Yeah. So, hornswoggle, to trick or deceive, trying to avoid getting hornswoggled by advertising claims.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Gotcha. The hornswoggling about, you know, maybe this isn't good to chew this after eating this gum.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
That wasn't a good example.
No.
There's better, way better examples.
Well, there's better ones. There's way better. Let's just say, yeah. There's no wrong answers. But you get the idea. You know, you don't want to...
Yeah, you don't want to be hornswoggled.
Sold a bill of goods or whatever it is. Hornswoggled. Yeah. So it came to be, again, here in the United States, and as you would think, it's Western United States, early 19th century.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And
Old West.
The Old West.
The Old
and
West.
And there were a number of words that came out of this era and these kind of what they called in a number of my sources as fancified words. I don't know if hornswoggle's fancy, but skedaddle and discombobulate.
Oh, that's a great one.
Are also from this time and family of word genesis.
Like old prospectors yelling about skedaddling.
Yeah. I guess you're out there with your pan and your feet in the water. You just have to come up with something.
You're sitting there all day.
Yeah. So you do.
Nice.
Now, I saw it in newspapers heavily 1870s and 1880s in a number of different forms. There, again, are no concrete traceable history.
Sure.
Now, because it came from where it came from, there are plenty of people who contend that it came from cowboys lassoing bulls or...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a cowboy. What are you, like a horned animal?
Yeah.
And then the animals frantically, you know, twitching about trying to slip the rope.
Mm-hmm.
And if the animal slips the rope, that cowboy was hornswoggled.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, you can imagine those horns he could probably use. I know I would.
They swoggled him.
Several ways to get away from that guy.
Sure, you gotta.
So that is a popular, loved idea of its origin, but we have no absolute proof on it.
Could it be that simple? I mean, it could be, for sure.
Well, there's another particularly odd, funny side to it, which takes some egg walking. And that's another one, you know, because we always say walking on eggshells, or at least I do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're walking on eggshells, the eggs are already broken. So I think you're walking on eggs and trying not to break the shells, right? And that's why, I mean, you're still walking on eggshells when you're walking on eggs.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying.
They're not deshelled.
Yeah.
Maybe they should specify.
I wish.
It's like you're walking on eggs, pal.
Maybe we'll get to that. There is a family of words also, aside from the fancified ones that I gave you, that are suggested to be in the history of Hornswoggle, or its family of, you know, combinations of ideas and thoughts. So they were all created around the same time. And I got to tell you, I mean, if you have young children at home, you know what I'm saying? Honeyfuggle. I'm just going to tell you.
Great.
You know, to tell you.
Yeah.
I tried to look up pronunciations on these, and none of them come up anywhere. Kniffle. Which became Cuniffle, and that became Conifogle.
These are fancified.
Yeah. But without me extrapolating out further other words that came out of these, because we're on National Public Radio. We're not on National Public Radio, are we, Rick?
I don't think so.
Yeah, but still.
They would fire us.
Yeah. let's just say these words ended up with a meaning to flatter, deceive, cajole. And really in the context of cajolery to win sexual favors.
Oh, my.
I know.
Tawdry words.
Yes.
Nice.
So while these words were older, they were in that family of fancified combinations of crazy sounding things that came out of the Old West in the early 19th century. And people believe Hornswoggled also then had a sexual connotation to its foolery, if you will.
I will. I will.
So that, without going any further, that's all I got on Hornswoggle. So maybe it'll come back, you know?
Huh. I mean, if we can find that whole, there's a book of words that existed around that time.
And I would like that book.
The Old Prospector's Handbook, maybe, is what it's called. I don't know. Language of the Old West.
I'll go with that second one. That first one, that handbook thing, I'm not going to bet on.
Yeah, sure.
So that is it.
I guess we'll skedaddle.
Is
this the good word?
Was that in there?
You said skedaddle.
Yeah, I did say skedaddle.
Skedaddle.
So, we already gave you the stuff at Hold 9 Yards Pod. Please hit us up looking for your Instagrams, Twitters, tweets.
Whichever's.
Yeah, and the Facebooks and what have you.
Yes.
And that's it. I'm Jay.
I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole 9 Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org. Or contact Whole 9 Yards by emailing heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole 9 Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.